Hello there. Hello, hello, hello. Bernie Miklos back with you for another Bernie Miklos show here on my YouTube channel. Did not post a video yesterday. They kind of got away from me. It's all right. I'm back. Today I'm going to start the first in what I think is going to be, it will be a series of videos that all dealing with the same issue in terms of the 2025 Cardinals. I'm going to just refer to it as which way will he go? Because we're talking about this being such a big year for so many of their younger hitters that part of this, or a big part of this, is basically determining who is going to be worth keeping, like who is going to be part of your future nucleus, who is going to be franchise keepers, for lack of a better term. So it's kind of, well, which way will he go? We say this for obvious reasons, because there are doubts about any number of Cardinals hitters. So I'm going to focus on the ones that I think will have the most influence, either positive or negative, in terms of the Cardinals offense in 2025. And then 2025 being something that will tell us a lot more about what to expect or not expect starting in 2026. So today, the choice is Jordan Walker. Which way will Walker go? And now I will begin. Thank you. In 2024, his second major league season, Jordan Walker was so lost in the batter's box and so buried deep in just awful, awful hitting statistics that it was difficult to remember just how good he was as a 21-year-old rookie, and he was really good. When we factor in Walker's age and run a check, which I did, on how other 21-year-old rookies did with at least 400 plate appearances, his 2023 season was a lot better than I think I realized, and I'm assuming that you realized it as well. But before I get started deeper into that, explaining why his rookie season was even better than I assumed, or maybe you assumed, as you watch this video, you're going to notice, other than right now, I have nothing to say about Walker's defense. That's a separate issue. He's in the major leagues to hit and hit with authority. The Cardinals failed, as I've talked about, I'm going to say 500 times by now. The Cardinals failed to give Walker proper developmental time after moving him to right field way too late in the 2022 season when he was still at AA. They needed to give him a big head start, and they needed to provide a full-time outfield instructor down in the minor leagues to help get him ready. They flunked the test, and Walker was the one that had to look clumsy in the outfield because of it. So, he'll have to get better defensively. We all know this, and that's all I've got to say about the subject for now, because I'm here to talk about his offense. Thank you. And here is why I believe Walker's rookie season was even better than we realized at the time. Number one, his overall offensive performance was 16% above league average in his rookie season. For that, I use the park and league adjusted runs created. It's not gobbledygook. It's all based on, you know, the normal stuff, batting average, on base percentage, slugging, you know, a couple other offensive things that are pretty normal. And it's just based on what the park and the league affects. In other words, you don't get a fair advantage because you play in a hitter's park. You know, if all the numbers are up in a season in the major leagues, the adjusted runs created takes that into account. It kind of neutralizes things in a fair way. That's all that it is. It's just not that difficult to understand. But I know it just seeing WRC plus, it's kind of like, what? I get it, because I was there myself a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago, until I decided to do some learning. Anyway, Jordan's overall rookie performance was 16% above the league average. For that, and I told you I used the WRC plus. In franchise history, the only 21-year-old rookies to do better than 16% above average with a minimum of at least 400 plate appearances were Albert Pujols in 2001, Stan Musial in 1942, Rogers Hornsby in 1916, and Joe Medwick in 1933. Then came Jordan Walker. Not bad. As 21-year-old rookies, only Pujols, Medwick, and Musial had a higher slugging percentage than Jordan when he was a 21-year-old rookie. Only Pujols, Musial, Hornsby, and Medwick hit for a higher batting average than Jordan, same age as a rookie. Only Pujols and Medwick hit more home runs than Jordan, age 21, as a rookie. Only Pujols, Stan the Man, Medwick, and Hornsby had a higher OPS than Walker, 21-year-old rookie. Call me a homer, but I'd say it's pretty good. Let's branch out a little. Let's look at 21-year-old hitters that had at least 400 plate appearances in their rookie seasons. This is all teams, but I'm going to limit our study to the expansion era, which began in 1961. So I'm comparing Jordan's rookie season, 21 years old. That's the important thing, 21 years old. And based on a good sample size, 400 plus plate appearances. So, as I mentioned, his rookie season, he came in at 16% above average at his age, 21. You know who did that? The same thing, 16% above average as a 21-year-old rookie. You know who did that? Same as Jordan, right? In terms of weighted runs created plus. You know who did that? Cal Ripken Jr. did that in 1982. And Walker's 16% above average showing as a rookie seems even more special when we consider this. His offensive performance as a 21-year-old rookie was better than that. And don't I quadruple check this, all right? Anyway, his based on weighted runs created plus, 16% above average as a 21-year-old rookie was even better than that of Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds, Johnny Bench, Jose Canseco, Gary Carter, Roberto Alomar, Ruben Sierra, Eric Hosmer, Joe Torre. There's so many more names, but I just wanted to give you a choice few. I think he had a pretty good rookie season. In the metric, I mentioned the metric I'm citing here really – The title is fancy, but the information underneath that title is all pretty basic stuff. So, as a rookie in 2023, Walker played in 117 games. He had 465 plate appearances. His final batting line, 276 average, 342 on-base percentage, 445 slugging percentage, 787 OPS. He fired 19 doubles, 16 homers, 51 RBIs. He struck out at a reasonable rate of 22%. And then came 2024. I don't have to review it too much. It was just a disastrous season for the second-year Walker. He was entrusted. The Cardinals has bailed out him on him early. You blame that on the president of baseball operations. You also blame that on the dugout staff because there's no one to figure out how to help him. So it's their first reflex. Instead of like, well, why don't we hire a better batting coach? Why don't we hire some people with new thinking that can communicate with younger hitters? But why don't we do that? Why don't we make a change right now? No, can't do that. So the reflex action is always, well, make them go away so we don't have to watch this. Then we don't have to think about it. And some of you wonder why that I've been on this crusade for a long time. The Cardinals have to fix their minor league and player development system and hire some great instructors and teachers and coaches that can get these kids ready for the major leagues. And once they're up here, to give them more help that they need instead of like, hit the ball hard, son. Hit the ball hard. You know, that's what happens when you let the veterans who don't need a lot of instructions, when you let them basically use their influence to dictate who the batting coach is going to be. And that's exactly what happened here in St. Louis. Veterans like Turner Ward, well, we can't go against them, can we? Come on in, Turner. Hit the ball hard, son. See the ball, hit the ball hard. So anyway, I just had to get that off my chest. So they bailed out on him early because they'd say, well, I don't know what to do. Do you know? Well, we better get him out of here then. A guy who hit that well is a rookie. He gets off to a terrible start, and it was a terrible start, man. I'm not sitting here making excuses. He was just flat out bad. But don't you think it's reasonable to expect, you know, somebody down there to be able to help it out a little bit? No, let's get them down to Memphis. We'll make it Memphis's problem. Jordan was sent to AAA Memphis for a lengthy stay that began April 24th and ended on August 11th. He was recalled to St. Louis, and it did take him a while to get going again. But little hope. He progressed in his final month of the season, slugging .494 with a .780 OPS. See, I told you, you got to hit the ball hard, son. Got to hit it hard. I'm being obnoxious. For those of you who like it, you're welcome. Those of you who hate it, sorry. Walker ended his second major league season with a .201 average, .366 slug, and a .619 OPS. Ouch. His overall performance for St. Louis last season was a gruesome 28% below the league average. As a rookie, 16% above. Second year, 28% below the league average. That's a clunker of a season, no doubt about it. But you know what? It happens. It's happened to some pretty big-name players, really. Once again, I did some research. During the expansion era, a lot of familiar names had even worse seasons than Walker did last year at age 22. Some of the names, again, they were actually worse than 28% below league average offensively. And some of those names include Gary Sheffield, Sammy Sosa, Gary Cardo, Ketel Marte, Johnny Damon, Aramis Ramirez, and Ron Santo was in that area. I mean, it happens. It's baseball. It's not easy for a lot of guys. Not easy. Like, once pitchers figure out what to do with you and they sort of attack the weaknesses that they've scouted, and then it's up to you to adjust, and it's also up to the team to actually have a batting coach that actually, you know, actually knows how to communicate and get the hitter, the young hitter, get his attention and get him fired up, and you devote time to him. You show him that he cared, and you're not just not worried about pleasing, you know, Goldie or Arenado. That kind of helps too, I think. Anyway, so it happens, and it happened in a big, big, bad, awful way to Walker last season. So here's my question, and I'm going to get into some other things here, but I'm going to quit whining about the and barking about the batting coaches, because I'm guilty of it too. We all put too much on that. But although I think in this most recent case, it was valid to do that. So as we stick with our theme, which way will he go? What do you put more stock in? Do you put more stock in Walker's rookie season, or do you put more stock in his second season? Do you think the rookie season is a better example of what he can be or what he will be? Or do you think his age 22 season last year, the awful season, do you think that is the indicator of what he will be? You can decide whatever you want, but I also get to decide what I think about this. But did you, when you looked at Walker at age 21, it's easy to remember the last thing we saw. I do that too. Well, the most recent thing, well, 2022, boy, I don't know about this guy, 2022. It's almost like we forget. Again, I'm putting myself in that category. Me too. You kind of forget 2021 and how really impressive that was, right? So do you look at that age 21 and think, hey, he's destined to become special? He's destined to become something really special to do that at such a young age. Or did you watch Walker at age 22 and think, well, the pitchers figured him out. He's destined to be really, really disappointing. He's destined to fail during his career as a Cardinal. So which way do you go on that? I can tell you which way I go, and you can probably figure it out. You're entitled to your opinions. I only can speak for myself, but I would put more value on what he did as a rookie. It showed what he was capable of doing, and he hit very well for a guy that had just turned 21 and had never played above the double-A level before the 2023 season. He skipped triple-A entirely. But as we alluded to, you know, in Walker's second season, the pitchers adjusted. They got him chasing pitches low and away, low and away, low and away, low and away, and he kept going after it, right? They worked him inside, and as we know now, because Walker talked about it at the winter warmup, pitchers working him inside, they were taking advantage of his faulty hand placement on the bat that prevented him from turning on inside pitches and pulling them with power. He said that he was way up here, and he didn't have time to, like, load his power. Now the new batting coach, imagine that. Looking at tape and saying, well, oh, your son, your hands are all messed up. Look, and here's what we're going to do. You're going to get a lot better. You load your power from a lower spot. That's how you load your power. You don't have time to load it when you're way up here. Imagine that. They have a hitting coach. He just better not, like, I don't know. I don't know what Brand Brown looks like. The only thing I got to say, he better not have longer hair or the fans won't like him. You know, just they didn't like that weirdo, that Jeff Albert. I think I get that guy out of here. That guy's a weirdo. Okay. Anyway, so Brand Brown, my advice to you is, you know, make sure you have a nice, clean, nice, clean haircut. It'll help you. Like I said, I'm being obnoxious because I had yesterday off doing these. Anyway, they worked him inside. His faulty hand placement on the bat prevented him from turning on pitches, pulling with power. His plate discipline became a real problem. Too many swings and misses, too many strikeouts, not enough walks. And I'm going to revisit a subject I've never really talked about enough, and I'm going to do it here now. Pitchers realize how easy it was to get Jordan Walker to ground out. In 2024, against the sinker, which is a pitch thrown low in the zone, hoping to get a ground ball, he hit 111 against sinkers, and he pounded a lot of them into the ground. It's been this way too often during Walker's first two seasons. He'll never have success, the success that he is capable of attaining, until he hits more fly balls and line drives. It's as simple as that. He's got to get away from the ground game, and he's got to get his air game going, period. And I have a feeling I may be wrong, because like a couple of you said that you don't like when I use the straw man thing. I don't think I'm doing that now, but I do think that out there, because I know at the time when there was a lot of hullabaloo made over him hitting too many ground balls, there were people I was hearing from. I don't know how many. It could be a really small percentage of Cardinals fans, but we're saying, well, like, let him do what he does. He's a good hitter. Let him do what he does. Okay. I disagreed with that and still do, because, well, when you say let him do what he does, you mean like 2022, 2024? I don't want to see him do what he does. I want to see him do better. So here we go. So in Walker's 2-year career, he's got a 308 average on ground balls. Now, when I looked at that on FanGraphs, their search engine, statistical research, their splits search engine, I said, well, you know, that's pretty good. You hit 308 on ground balls. So I'm not really ridiculing anybody else, because that was my first thought. Well, that's not so bad. Except it just wasn't bringing out all the talent that he is capable of putting in that batter's box when he stands there. He by hitting all these ground balls, man, he sells himself short, and he doesn't do what the team needs him to do. Do I have numbers to back that up? Come on now. You know better than to ask that question. Of course I have numbers. So you like that 308 batting average on ground balls? Okay, well, in his two seasons, Walker's batted 383 when he hits a fly ball or a line drive. 383 minus 308. You figure out the math. He has slugged 779 when he hits a fly ball or line drive. By the way, this doesn't include pop-ups. So he slugged 779 when he hits a fly ball or line drive. 52% of his hits on fly balls or line drives have gone for extra bases. on 222 bats in his 2 years that end with a fly ball or a line drive. He's got 21 doubles, 21 homers, 4 sac flies, and 56 runs batted in. When he was hitting ground balls, man, his slugging percentage was, I don't know, 350 or so. He hardly drove in any runs because they're kind of the equivalent of empty calories. Yeah, he's strong enough. He hits a ball hard. He can muscle the ball through the infield. He can hit for a decent average, but there's so much more that he can do than that. You don't settle for that. Based on adjusted runs created, Walker's, and remember, I'll get back to this. Walker's overall career performance on fly balls and line drives is 126% higher than his performance when hitting ground balls. 126% difference. The league average for adjusted runs created is 100. When Walker in his career has hit line drives or fly balls, his adjusted runs created is 208. My friends, that is 108 points above the league average offensively. When he hits the ball in the air with authority, which he can do, 108 points above the league average offensively when he doesn't do a pitcher a favor by hitting a ground ball or a harmless pop-up. The pop-ups haven't been all that much of a problem. At the winter warm-up, Walker was highly animated and clearly pumped up when he talked about his early work with the new hitting coach, Brant Brown. So he's, as I mentioned, he's already adjusted his hand placement and he's adjusting his swing. He's trying to use more of his lower half to get that torque for more power. So Brant Brown's already given him some ideas that Jordan Walker is really enthusiastic about. And you know what? Usually in the past when he's talked about hitting, he hasn't had a lot to say because you could just tell it was a bad subject. He was very, very frustrated. And, you know, as a really young hitter, you know, high school, early minors, you know, you can hit a lot of ground balls. I mean, you can get away with a lot of stuff, but you ain't going to do it against these shrewd, wily old, you know, pitchers that know how to find a weakness. When today's game, with all the tape study and all the advanced stuff and all the metrics and all the heat maps and everything else, I mean, these pitchers know exactly where to attack you. They know exactly what to do to get you to do what they want you to do, other than striking out, is hit the ball on the ground somewhere. We don't want him loading up and cranking doubles and homers and slugging 700. They'll get him to hit ground balls, and they have. So he was all, you know, everybody down there was just saying, wow, he's never been this animated about anything. And so it was good to see. I know that. It was good to see. So that enthusiasm, that animation, that energy that just was bubbling down at the winter warm-up, and obviously, you know, his work with Brant Brown has just kind of rejuvenated Jordan Walker. This may lead to nothing. This may lead to something. Who knows? 3 months from now, we might all be blaming Brant Brown for something, including Big Mouth here. I don't know. I don't think so, but you never know. But this may lead to something big. It may lead to more frustration. So that's why I'm asking, which way will he go in 2025? And this is a big year for Walker and the Cardinals. But for the first time as a Cardinal, Walker is excited by the teachings of a hitting coach. And I don't know. I don't see how that can't only work in his favor. Maybe not to the extent that we would like to see, but I can't imagine it would not work to his advantage. Once again, this shows you how poorly the Cardinals have served their young hitters with coaching and instruction. No one up here at the major league level could pull Walker out of this drastic slump. And it does seem like the new guy's got his attention. That's a place to start. So if you ask me which way I think Walker will go in 2025, my answer, I think, is pretty obvious. I think he will improve. He will go back up. I'm not sitting here spitting out predictions about that. We have to wait to see how it sort of evolves. But so far, you kind of like the early direction this has gone because someone's gotten his attention and he's listening to them and he's incorporating their ideas and they're showing him by using video and all the available stuff that younger hitters really like, by the way. Now, those of us who, those of us men and women of a certain age, so we may not like that, right? Because heck, there are times I wish it was 1964 all over again. I'd be five years old. I'd have a lot of life left, right? But some of us old geezers actually do adjust to the way things are now, and things change always, no matter what it is. Not just sports; things always change. But I think he's going to improve because I think this really smart hitting coach that will make full advantage of all the tools that there are to help hitters. He's going to do whatever he can, but at the end, it's going to be up to our guy Jordan Walker to have a much better season at age 23 in 2025. And boy, one way or the other is going to have a big influence on this offense that for the last six seasons, five times has been 10th or worse out of the 15 teams in the National League. So which way will Walker go? I'm saying up. How far up remains to be seen. But get the ball up in the air. That'll help you move up as a hitter. All right. My second one is going to be on Nolan Gorman. And I knew that I know that I just talked about him recently, but the way I'm going to talk about him in the next video is something completely different. Because what we're going to do, well, which way will he go? There's some things about Gorman that I sort of, it's the test that I gave at the beginning of this. It's like, well, how do you define him other than too many strikeouts? And that's going to be the case even when he's going great. But how do you define him, by his high times or his low times? It's an interesting question. And I'll be back. I don't know if I will today. It depends if you want a second video or not. I might be. Check back. But thank you very much. And also, thanks for giving me, to use John Mozeliak's runway word, thanks for giving me runway to be obnoxious in this video a little bit. I was just wound up from after not doing one yesterday. See, these things are therapy. Thank you.